Hello, I'm Stephanie Belcher.
And I'm Del Belcher, and welcome to
Learn to Like Each Other. How are you, Delbert?
Stephanie, I'm so full of food. Content
you
warning.
Ate a lot this week.
I ate no a judgment. Lot this week. I ate a lot today, and I am feeling exceptionally, what's the word, sluggish? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling, you know, back in the day when it was like beautiful to be pale and bloaty and you got gout a lot.
Yes, I do know what you mean.
And it was like sexually attractive to have very good calves. Like
fair
a
enough.
Louis the 13th situation.
Here
I'm
we go.
I'm feeling full of pizza. I'm feeling full of...
Oh, did the calf thing mean you had money so you were horseback riding?
I don't know.
Because you were...
I've never ridden a horse. I love horses. I feel that they are God's most
You've
beautiful
never
creatures.
Ridden a horse?
Not on purpose.
How did I
don't
know this?
I don't know how a horse...
There's a horse farm close to here where you
there
can go ride horses.
There are three horse farms close to here. And
you know where they are?
Of course I know where they are.
Well, we could go do this.
But I just don't understand how that would have anything to do with my calf muscles.
I don't know either.
But guessing. That's how I feel. I feel full. I feel fat and sassy. I feel happy, but I feel very greasy and
again,
tired.
No judgment on what you eat. You did eat two tubs of ice cream in a very short time
Listen,
span.
I don't know if it's like an emotional thing or it's the changing of the seasons. My beach bod summer is over. I really worked hard on getting like a good fit trophy husband dad bod for the summer. And now that's over, I'm settling into my winter weight. I need to stay warm. I need to get that layer upon
When do
me.
You shed that coat of back hair? Is that next year?
That's the springtime okay. when I do my yearly shedding of back hair. And then I get my layer, my fat layer will go away as well. But now I'm storing up because winter's coming and I got to stay warm. I'm the one that shovels. I'm the one that does the scooping of the snow. I need to stay warm. And this is my prep season. I'm also attempting to sandbag all weight loss contests that I will enter in January by using performance-enhancing foods such as pizza to get me ridiculously heavier than I should be. And it'll be easy to just, like, cut back, you know? And then, boom, $100 in my pocket. Right?
Don't you have genetically high cholesterol?
Oh, I do. That, you know, some people, like a Michael Phelps, has just like his amino acids don't, they don't build up
Michael
as quickly.
Michael Phelps does cupping.
His natural ability.
Wow, a cup on my back will make me not sick.
I'm telling you, I'm genetically predisposed to gaining a lot of weight very fast. It's a performance-enhancing genetic ability that I have. That gives me an advantage in weight loss challenges.
People do have faster or slower metabolisms. There are also some people that eat two tubs of ice cream in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, I don't appreciate your food shaming because it was very good. It was.
You can't just take the word shaming, which is you seriously attach it to another thing.
Listen.
And then say I'm doing
today,
that.
Earlier today, you were LaCroix shaming me. And then you were poutine shaming me, looking at me while you're eating your salad.
We went a place where I can literally only eat the salads.
The
only thing on the menu I can eat is two salads.
I'm sorry. I take it back. But I feel like it's just a rough food week. But a rough food week is also a glorious food week. But I'm going to get back on track tomorrow. I think I'm
good.
Done for the day. I feel my rumbling in the jungle. And we might have to cut the show short. We'll just see what happens.
So Del had two tubs of ice cream and a calzone. He's also lactose intolerant.
I shared it with my family. Now, the Blue Moon, the Superman, Carly and I shared it. And then the Traverse City Cherry Fudge, I did share that with you. And Carly, and three of my family members. So give me a break.
I was going to talk about how, like, when you're married to someone with lactose intolerance and they make the choice to have a lot of dairy, or lots of dairy leads to, like, a lot of dairy air later in the night. So it's going to be rougher for me than anyone else, really.
You know what? If you kick me out to the guest room tonight, I will not.
I might just ask you to sleep in there. I love you so much. I don't want to sleep in a separate bed.
It's just good for your skin when you're under the covers, just making in your own person. Like, it's just good for your body. Listen, healthier lifestyle. They've been doing it for thousands of years. Scraping your teeth with sticks, Dutch ovening yourself. These are things that we can take from history that help us live longer.
I love how people, so this is learn to like each other.
This is what the people want to hear. They want to know, how can that lady who's wonderful and smart put up with that stinky, dirty man?
Do you want to write this down for your other podcast? This sounds like good material for Lobotomy 101.
Oh, it sure does. It sure does. Aaron, if you're listening, please.
Between Aaron's gluten intolerance and your dairy intolerance.
Listen, I can sacrifice my body for good, good quality ingredients.
There's people on the other end of that. No pun intended.
It's true. Well, I apologize in advance, and I accept your forgiveness.
So this is Apology Not Accepted, Learn to Like Each Other. It's a show where we talk about a relationship type thing to learn to like each other.
We have never.
Doesn't mean you have to like how your partner chooses to eat.
We've never done one about my partner insists on eating terrible things that are bad for him that make my life miserable. What do I do?
I feel like we have anecdotally, because there's all these articles about how men die earlier.
This is how they die earlier. He was full of cheese. He just couldn't move.
We threw him off the bridge, went straight down.
He seeped out of his stomach and started filling up his legs. Cheese. I
feel like death by cheese would be the worst way to go.
I feel that as I get older, I've decided to take control of when and how I die, and I'm just going to go to the cheese factory and surrender myself to the glory of that dairy.
What's that one joke that's, I want to die just like my grandpa did, asleep, not like the passenger screaming in the back of his car.
Oh my God, that's a terrible joke.
You laugh, but then you also think it's so true.
I would rather be asleep. That's for her. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Those were the two situations I had to choose from. Mm-hmm.
How would you want to die if there was a food death?
Food death? Mm-hmm. So I'm celiac. I have celiac disease. I can't eat gluten. If I do, I just get sick.
You can eat gluten.
I can. That's the thing. But it's kind of like saying if you have a peanut allergy, it's like, well, you could eat peanut butter.
Oh, I'm allergic to bees. Well, I can get stung by a bee.
You can.
I have diabetes. I can eat all this bad stuff.
It's like physically this thing can happen. However, there are consequences.
I understand 3 days in bed after having a bagel rub against your face is not a good way to go.
But I did think the next time I was getting sick from being glutened, what I wanted to do is go to Panera, and I've talked about this, mm-hmm. and get a cinnamon crunch bagel, and then probably another cheesy one of those bagels, maybe a sandwich, and just eat them. Mm-hmm. I'm already sick. And I said that to our brother-in-law, Tom, who is diabetic, which is also an autoimmune disorder, and he looked at me and goes, that's a really bad idea.
I have an idea of what you could do.
Okay.
We could put you in a bathtub. We could fill it up with beer, and you'd have to drink your way out.
I don't know if I'd want beer to be the way to go.
Oh, true. True.
Because in celiac land, you can find bagels, you can find baked goods. They're good. Some of them are good. You'll never get back to that because gluten has a beautiful texture that just doesn't exist outside of that.
It's true. Yeah, it is easier to find a gluten-free alcoholic beverage than it is a good tasty bagel.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
And if you find a bagel, they're usually plain.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
Stephanie.
Sorry, I made that sad real quick. So I want to die eating Panera bagels. The end. Brought to you by our sponsor, Panera Bagels.
Okay, well, Good to know. Thank you. I know. We've been thinking about writing a will, so I'll make sure I'll throw that in there.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. This is Learn to Like Each Other. We're a podcast.
Stephanie.
Delbert. After a brief break from Del's sponsor, Deary, we're back in the podcast.
I feel that after 120 episodes, I can give me one.
Del got up to take a break and tripped over himself.
I tripped over the cabinet thing.
I don't love physical comedy, but that was funny.
I don't even know. I don't know what you fell over. I stepped over it with my left foot, and I'm just looking at the trajectory of my exit. I don't even know how I did that.
I don't know either. It's like 3 feet. How did your... So, this is Learn to Like Each Other.
If you want to learn to like each other, have your partner fall over something, and it's hilarious.
So, we always talk about... Updates. Bachelor in Paradise.
This is the Bachelor in Paradise corner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it. Oh, our good boy, Jordan, got kicked off right away.
Jordan was good TV. However, he got into a fist fight.
He was gone too soon.
Yeah.
He was provoked.
Physical altercations should not be tolerated.
Not happening on The Bachelor.
He was real funny, though.
He was real funny while he lasted. His star burned too brightly. We will miss you, our dear sweet Jordan.
And then, so this season has been met with Blake being in a love octagon?
Fraught with Blake.
Tetrahedron?
When I was a child, I was told, keep your hands to yourself. And it served me very well.
But did your parents say, don't go to Stagecoach? Because that's where it's going down.
Go to Stagecoach, but keep your hands to yourself. And Blake did not learn that lesson. He is... Hand Z, among other things.
So Blake hooked up with one of the contestants, waited about 12 hours, hooked up with another contestant before the show, and then sometime around there, flew to another state, hooked up with another all of these women are now on an island with this guy together, and he didn't think it would be a problem.
He didn't really like pick out that population very... strategically.
No.
Here's the thing. If you're going to sleep with three women in 3 days, make sure that they aren't going to be on the same island with you for a whole summer.
You're right, though. It is such a small world.
Bachelor Nation is not very large.
So on the show, Blake was going after this one girl, Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Lost her. Mm-hmm. And then we all thought Blake was going to get sent home.
Because he's a jerk.
In swoops, contestant Christina, girl from night one who he had hooked up with.
Mm-hmm.
Christina saves Blake. He gets to stay. And all of Bachelor Nation is thinking, Christina, this guy is awful. He's the most hated Bachelor contestant now.
Oh, yeah.
Second hated. He's up there with He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christina gets on camera and says... What's going to be worse than him living in his own hell? Now he has to watch the girl he really wanted date another guy.
Yep. Well, everyone else knows his shenanigans.
So Del and I looked at each other.
And then he stubbed his toe on a rock.
And his toenail came off. He kind of fell on the beach like you just fell.
I know. It's a scary world out there. You got to be careful.
So Jordan is good TV. Christina is good TV. Blake, horrible person, good TV. Demi. Amazing person.
She seems like a very sweet lady.
I like her a lot. She is also good TV because she is this great color commentary, but she's a very honest and kind person.
Yeah, she's like the...
Carly Wiedel,
which kind of fits into that Bachelor contestant category as the audience surrogate, as the person that is there to be like, you know... look dead into the camera with an eyebrow raised like, you seeing this crap? That's Demi. She serves that very well.
So, throughout this season, something that Demi has been saying is that she is fluid.
Yeah, it's shaken up. It's shaken up the old thing. Because normally, Bachelorette is very like cisgender, straight. Oriented.
Yeah, I think there's a one contestant that identified as bisexual. Outside of that, it has been a very heteronormative show.
Right. Even if you're bisexual, it's like, I'm bisexual, but I'm still here for, I identify as a woman, I'm going after a guy, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So even with that identifier, it's like, okay.
So when she came on this show, she mentioned she had been seeing a woman.
And this is like new. Did that happen when she was on her last season at all?
No, because she dated Colton.
Right.
She was in his season.
Oh, Colton. I just forgotten about him.
I know. Don't bring him up. And then dated Colton. And then she started dating this woman, wasn't sure how she felt about their relationship, decided to go on Bachelor in Paradise, and is dating a guy named Derek. Or
Derek.
Maybe not
was
dating.
Was that Derek or Crispy?
Which one's Crispy?
Chris B.
No, not Chris P.
Isn't B.
B. No, not Chris.
He's like 34 or something.
He's 80. I don't know. He's just got good skin.
I call him Crispy because it sounds funny.
He has been on the most Bachelor shows.
Yeah. He was on, like, Bachelor 1, Bachelor Prime.
Yeah, probably.
Before we were born.
So, she mentioned that she was fluid, and I had never heard of that term.
Yeah, she had been dating a woman, and she says, I'm fluid. And I'm like, isn't that, what's the difference between that and a bisexual?
Yeah, I had that thought too, because I really didn't know or understand.
And it was never explained, and it still hasn't necessarily been explained. And then, last week, Demi is like, I don't know what to do with this guy. And good old Uncle Chris, president of Bachelor Nation, brings in, does he bring in?
The girl she had been dating, Chris.
Chris
or Christian? I think it was Chris.
Christian, Chris.
Am I wrong?
I don't know. But so now she's in paradise with her.
George. Anyway.
Partner from before. And now is kind of going through like those emotions and like, who are you dating while you're here? Oh, I love you.
Christian. It's Christian.
This is the kind of the first time they've had this on-screen sort of same gendered relationship. All the while Demi's going on about how she's fluid. And everyone's like, what does that mean?
Well, and I had no clue, but I decided we have this great, big, beautiful thing called the internet and a podcast. So I figured I would do my research to try to understand this new term that I didn't know about.
If we don't know about it, there's probably a lot of other straight white people who don't know about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, or maybe I'm slow on the uptake and we're going to do this and everyone's going to say, well, duh.
Or maybe it's like Maroon 5 song Moves Like Jagger, where he just made it up and it doesn't actually mean anything.
Maybe. Does anything mean anything ever?
Wrong show, babe. Wrong show. Okay, so we're talking about fluidity.
Yeah,
now,
so
I've heard about sexual fluidity when it comes to like gender, things like that. I have heard that, but I've not heard of like sexual fluidity.
Yeah. And we're not talking about fluids. Although I think this is a good. Okay.
So. You mean she's water? Is she a water
she's
person?
Water. She's liquid, then she's.
Is
solid.
She the shape of
she's
water?
Yes. Oh, that's deep. Maybe. Deep. Aren't we all a lot of water?
We are. I am not. I'm mostly cheese. Or I was until about 5 minutes ago.
Okay. So we need to start, I think, first kind of unpacking some basic terminology, which is going to be ironic in a second.
Oh, well.
Isn't it?
I don't know what you're going to say, so let me have it.
First, I'm going to define some terms and give you their definition according to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center.
Okay.
So I think we kind of need to start with four different terms. So sex, gender, gender identity, and sexual orientation.
Okay.
Sex.
Sex, baby.
We're not talking about the brown chicken, brown cow. That would be a fifth.
You mean doing it?
Yes.
Okay.
We're not talking about doing it.
Okay.
Sex, by definition, is a biological term, and it refers to your genitals or reproductive anatomy.
Like on your driver's license where it says sex, yes, please. We're talking about that section.
The answers you would put down, I mean, some people probably put yes, but.
M or F. are the two most states in the U.S. on your driver's license, when it says sex, you identify as either male or female.
Well, not identify.
No.
This is not identity.
On the ID card.
Sex.
Yeah.
Here is just the biological reproductive part that you are born with.
Oh, okay. So my driver's license has led me astray.
It's true. And society in general recognizes two sexes, male and female.
Depending on your genes.
Yes.
Okay.
However, there's some ambiguity here because there are some people that are born with male and female or ambiguous anatomy. Mm-hmm. So you might be born with different openings that don't look like what other folks in society are born with.
Gotcha.
So that kind of leads to the question of where does that place us?
What is sex?
Yes. Mm. Yes, please. Then gender.
That's the gender on your ID.
Does it say sex or gender?
I don't know.
I do feel like now...
What I'm feeling, is, even in this moment, sex and gender, I feel like has almost been just you swap in and out.
People do swap them.
It's like...
Inappropriately. Incorrectly.
That's just kind of like how it's just been.
They're generally swapped. They're generally used interchangeably.
As information has become more open, and I think we know more about more people, and science has come a little bit further, we've seen that these words actually have different meanings.
Yeah.
And that's where you're going. So I'm going to drop the whole, like, driver's license thing, and I'll just... Sex is... What is the shape of your nethers? Gender...
Fair enough.
...is...
A societal construct, and it's usually defined by whatever expectations we put on people, and the most common groups here, again, are men and women.
And that's usually driven by the shape of your genitals.
Typically, yes.
Okay.
The vast majority of the time.
Historically, that seems to be what we do culturally.
Historically, that's what cultures do.
Okay.
And so society tends to create expectations around how you should dress, how you should talk, and how you should act.
Right. So when I hold Carly, people say she's gonna be a heartbreaker for all those boys.
So annoying to me. But yes, I say
those boys deserve to have their hearts broken, and then I laugh and laugh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the gender.
And we strongly promote male or female, and this is called a gender binary.
Okay. Two. One. Two. On
exactly. Yeah. Binary. Two options. And so one of the things that this does is because we have a binary in our culture, it discourages people from mixing or crossing whatever the gender social construct is.
Devious.
Yeah.
We're watching Mindhunter.
Mindhunter.
Brain Buddies. And it's the 80s, and they talk about how, like, gay, lesbian used to be a disorder, and they removed it. Not being seen as like a deviant thing. It's just in the last like 40 years has it been kind of
taken declassified off. From the DSM.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. Cool.
Interesting. Look at that.
Everything's kind of coming together here.
That's a sexual orientation.
Well, okay. That's next, right?
Yes.
Okay.
No. There's one before that.
Okay.
But by having these cultural constructs, what you're getting at though is it really confines people to only expressing their gender within societal confines, because once they go out of that, the nail that stands up gets hammered down.
Yeah.
So I once saw this. I was teaching Sunday school, and there was a boy in the class that wanted to wear a dress.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really care because he was six. Like, he just wanted to put a dress on.
Like,
dress
up. They're whatever. Dressing up. They're doing a skit or whatever.
And someone else that was older came in the room and was very offended by that.
Okay.
So he was just laughing. None of the kids cared. But someone else quickly taught him that by wearing a dress, it meant something he wasn't supposed to do.
Okay.
So something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's experienced that. Girls have experienced that. As a girl, I experienced that. In math class, when I tried to run, I was told girls can't run as fast because...
Why are you running in math class?
Well, Mr. Durley. Sorry, I jump between stories.
Okay.
Have you experienced that too?
I mean, yes. Like, yeah. I remember in college playing guitar and singing music and being yelled at, saying, like, by the jocks down the hall that I was gay. It's like, because I'm playing guitar. And I was like, well... okay. But yes, expectations of not filling out a masculine man thing means you're not a man enough or something. Yes, yeah. I've experienced not so much, you're a girl, but definitely if you don't fit this binary one or two, you are an other, you are deviant, you are not good.
You know, we did have, I did hear that this last weekend too with a little boy that we know. Oh. He was expressing, he's like a little bit older, but he was expressing emotion. And then a male person that we know told him that he wasn't allowed to cry because only girls cried.
Oh, what?
Do you remember that? Yeah. I don't know if you were paying attention to that interchange.
And then he was called a sissy. You're yes. Like, why are you being a sissy? And I'm like, this is a person my age calling a younger child.
I didn't like that.
Male child a sissy for crying. And it's like.
And we weren't in a situation where we could correct it. Yeah. It was really. Anyway. So stuff like that. So expressing emotion isn't something men are supposed to do because.
Binary.
Yeah, whatever.
Got it.
So then gender identity. Gender identity describes how and to what degree a person identifies with a continuum of masculine or femininity or identifies outside of a gender binary. So some people don't really ascribe to male or female.
Okay.
And one term that's often put in gender identity is if someone is transgender. So if you're born female, gender identity might move to female. What did I say?
I think that's what you said the right thing.
Anyway, you know what I mean.
It's a lot of stuff.
Lots of terms.
You're breaking down like a thesis in like a 5-minute section of a podcast.
I'm trying.
You're doing a good job.
So I think something that's important here, though, for the purposes of what we'll talk about when we get to fluidity, is that there's different ways that people think about gender identity, but here it's thought of as a continuum.
Okay.
So the way that I usually, I've drawn that out before, is you put two dots on a piece of paper, you put a line connecting them, you put male on one side, female on one side, and then you put an X for how close you are with feminine being whatever society has constructed as the most feminine thing and masculine being the most masculine thing. Mm-hmm. So then you put an X there to say, I have these traits or that. Mm-hmm. But other people don't use a line. They say that it goes beyond those dots or it's even a different shape or
a
different.
Circle.
Yeah. So there's, it's very complex. I'm not saying I know the answers, but.
Because even that's just based on cultural norms.
Yep.
Whoa.
Everything's just a contract.
Crazy.
Last, certainly not least, sexual orientation.
Okay. What direction? Orientation. Orienteering is when you're hiking and you learn how to use a map and a compass to go in the right direction.
Oh, yeah. What if we gave that to people?
Orienteering class?
Well, not that, but for sex.
Oh, a sex compass.
Yes.
Yeah, an orientation compass. It's just that's kind of what I was connecting. Orientation. When I think of sexual orientation, it's like, here's the compass pointing in the direction that you go.
Oh, I like that. And the circle is kind of moving around or whatever, wherever the magnet is.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah. I vaguely remember compasses.
Your attraction, your North Star, if you will.
Yeah, I like that. So sexual orientation refers to a person's emotional, physical, spiritual, and or sexual attraction to individuals of the same gender, another gender, or both all genders, and how people organize their lives around their desires.
Okay, that actually seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like that's one that people kind of get, like it clicks right away.
Okay.
I think a phrase I liked here was how people organize their lives around their desires.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you have, and so here we're talking about a sexual desire that you have. So how are you feeling about that? And then once you have that desire, how do you make choices around that internal drive that you have?
Okay.
Related to sex.
Yeah. Get it. I got it.
Get it.
Got it.
Get it.
Got
it.
Good.
Okay.
Okay. So fluidity. What is that about?
So should I get to the point?
We can talk more about these other things, which are very interesting, but you've laid out the terms.
Yes.
We've got sex, sexual identity, gender, and sexual orientation.
And those are the basics you need to know to end up having a conversation about sexual fluidity.
So now that we have now you and I are on the same page, Now we're list. Now, where does this fluidity fit on this whole continuum? Because when Demi is on Bachelor in Paradise and she says, I'm fluid, you know, I've heard hundreds of other things of how people identify themselves. And I hadn't used fluidity used in popular culture this way or even on internet culture this way or this much. So I'm interested in, like, where does that fit on this whole thing?
So we... I had you listen to a podcast from the author on sexual fluidity, but then I also looked up some other articles on it. And when I looked at other articles, they put sexual fluidity as a sexual orientation. Uh-huh. And arguably, I mean, that's what she's saying, but arguably Demi talks about it like a sexual orientation.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what kind of, I guess,
threw me off. Is that how you felt?
Yeah. It was almost like she was saying I'm bisexual, but it was like being bisexual, but something different.
Yes, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So the author here says that sexual fluidity is not a sexual orientation.
What was the book?
I'll get there in a second.
Oh, okay.
The book, though, I'll say it now, though, because you asked. It is a book from 2008 called Sexual Fluidity, Understanding Women's Love and Desires. And the author is Lisa Diamond.
Okay. And she's a faculty at University of Utah or something?
Yep.
Okay.
Professor of psychology. So she coined the term off of some research she did.
Oh, wow.
And she said in the interview we listened to that sexual fluidity is meant to exist and coincide along with sexual orientation.
Okay. So it's like you can be gay or straight or lesbian as your, I don't want to say the wrong word.
Yeah, as your sexual orientation. But you can say that that's your sexual orientation.
Even with that, it can be a sliding of expression that you can kind of fluctuate in and out of.
Yeah.
And okay, I get that. So not everything is just a holding fast hole that you fit in. It's like it is more like those lines that you're talking about within the lines.
Outside of the lines.
Yeah.
So here are the lines and I exist outside of that because it doesn't totally fit what these terms are giving me as a definition.
Yeah. And I think that sounds okay to me.
Yeah, I don't care.
Instead of having like all billions of people fit in like five holes, you can have five holes that,
that no pun intended,
that slide and have fluid nature to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she came up with this terminology and advocated for this. She did a study among 100 non-heterosexual women over 10 years around the New York area.
That's a huge
amount of time.
That's seems like a fairly legit study.
Well, there's one critique to her study that I kept seeing, and it was that the women that she studied were not representative of all women.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, part of their sexuality, and then they weren't... It's not a representative sample of all women in the United States.
Right.
But given what she was doing, following 100 women for 10 years...
That seems still pretty... As far as how sexuality and gender are reflected in these 100 women, there's still a lot of information you can take from
there's
that.
There's a ton of information.
For 10 years. I've changed so much in 10 years.
Well, I think, I'm like, who have I tracked for 10 years? Like, not that. Nobody. Not 100 people.
Boris... The tennis player, Boris Becker. I used to follow him for 10 years
really? As a child.
No, I just remembered him because he...
I don't even know who that
he
is.
He had a weird name, and I thought...
He does have a weird name.
My grandma liked him.
Aw. So in her research, one of the things that she found is that the women would be in a relationship with men or a man, and then women, and then men, et cetera, et cetera. So they would fluctuate between whoever... they were in a relationship with or had relations with.
So wouldn't that put them in the bi thing and not the lesbian thing?
You're really stuck on this bi thing, aren't you?
Well, I'm just going with what I think the people want to know.
Well, so what this person advocated for was that bisexual wasn't accurate to describe this orientation because it was more... complex than that.
Oh, okay.
So what she asked for is an expanded terminology, and so fluidity was born out of that.
I get that. Okay, I get that now. Thank you.
And so the fluidity is talking about how you have a higher capacity for influence in your sexual desires than what some of these other definitions are given.
Okay.
And so Fluidity is arguing that some people have a higher capacity for their sexual orientation to change and for their who they're attracted to change over time and be modified.
Okay, I get that.
I get okay. that. So it's not an orientation towards sexes. So you might be mostly attracted to men. However, you might have situations where you're attracted to women.
Okay.
So there is some flexibility in this. And mm-hmm. so it's saying there isn't necessarily a hard and fast rule you have to abide with.
Okay. Okay. I get it.
So.
I don't know okay. what else to say. It's okay. like, okay, well, that's, okay. I did not know that. Now I know it.
So when she talked to her sample over time, one of the things that she mentioned was that a lot of her sample would say that they fell in love with a person, but not a gender specifically, and that attraction has occurred for years. And when they became attracted, it was a response to the person's intelligence or an emotional bond.
Their soul. They love what's on the inside.
It's on, what's on the inside that counts.
Yeah. I like that.
And so what drew her sample to people was biological, but it was also a huge mix of other things. So it wasn't just, you have a penis, I'm attracted to you. You have a vagina, I'm attracted to you, etc. It was a lot of different factors that led to an attraction.
Okay.
And one of the other things that the author found is that the women that she talked to were often told that they were just confused or that they were repressed.
Okay. So, like, if you say you're a lesbian, but you date a guy here and there, you're not really a lesbian.
Yes.
Okay. Hmm. Interesting.
You're just holding back these desires that are really this other thing.
Yeah. Hmm.
So I don't know, like maybe if it were a percentage, I'm losing my train of thought.
Okay.
But that's, you know what I mean?
I get what you mean. I get it.
And so, I mean, what we're really coming down to here, what I took away is that when you have a specific or a rigid title on something, like gender, like sex, like sexual orientation, like any definition, it can feel like a way to force people to act a certain way.
Right. And so when she says fluidity, it's not another label that someone has to be. It's taking what we already have and making those targets maybe a little bit more flexible.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's blurring the boundaries right. between everything.
It's not another category. It's the blurred categories.
Or maybe even no category at all, or both. I think they could probably coexist. I think that's hard for people because we want a definition to know what something is.
It's the opposite of everything, of how we organize our entire everything.
Yes, because organization needs a definition with strict confines.
Yeah, that's when fluid gets in the way.
It's true.
I have walls that are supposed to keep things out. But one time in my house, there were walls where the fluid of someone's bathroom upstairs started coming through. And that's when I was upset because things that were supposed to be over there came over here. And I kind of see that happening in Demi situation and this conversation of fluidity, that the walls are starting to leak into each other, but it's okay.
I think it doesn't bother her, but I think it bothers other people because she isn't fitting a definition that we have put on her.
Right.
So we keep saying like, well, aren't you just bisexual? And it's like, no, it's more than that. It's deeper than that. But because she's not acting according to a definition we've given her, we feel upset.
And she just makes people mad.
Yeah, because they're like, well, all I know is this definition, and if she's not acting that way, it's her fault for the definition I've given her.
How come you don't fit these constructs that I put on you?
Well, so, you know, me and society.
Me and society.
Yeah, so I feel upset.
Okay.
Because I feel alienated from my worldview. If this isn't true, what else isn't true? Nothing is real.
Whoa, then you just, that's when you jump off a cliff.
And I think that's when you turn into water and, wait, fluid.
Fluid.
This
is very interesting.
So The author did go on to say that there's two large misconceptions about her work. One is that desire is a choice.
Oh.
Or that you can just choose who you are attracted to.
Okay.
She said that most of the people she talked to had really strong internal surges or desires. Hmm. And it wasn't that they were choosing a person based off of their traits. It was more of they felt something inside of themselves.
Yeah.
And then the second misconception was that the desires of the women she talked to, people often thought that those could be directed by psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were attracted to someone your parents or society didn't want you to be attracted to, maybe just talk to a shrink and they'll quote unquote fix it.
Mm-hmm.
That never worked.
Really?
And has never worked. There's a lot of, it's like, I don't know why that would work, but.
Because, you know, if I talk to someone long enough, they will change their mind and do what I think they should.
Yeah. So that is the basic concept and definition around sexual fluidity. Didn't know anything about it. Decided to look it up.
Now you know a lot.
Not saying that I'm an expert. I'm definitely not. But I feel informed.
How do you feel about it all? And how do you feel that it's being represented on the show? Well? Poorly?
I feel like...
because this is a lot of people's first interaction, like ours, with this concept of sexual fluidity and attraction.
I feel like I have two conflicting thoughts.
Okay.
But I'd like to hear what you think. But I think I said it earlier.
You first.
I feel like it's a really good thing to have different people represented on TV, no mm-hmm. matter who they are.
Yeah.
Different ages, different races, different people from different cultures, different sexual orientations, because I think in representing different people, you give them a voice, and then people that are similar to that feel not alone, like they have a community and somewhat empowered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree with that. I work, you know, working for at a college setting and with, you know, with teens and people of all different ages, that representation I think is huge because suicide rates amongst the LGBTQ teen community are
horrible.
Horrible. They're ridiculously high because they feel ostracized for any number of reasons. And having having positive cultural representation is amazing. Like, there's been, you know, gay characters in movies and shows forever, but it's always either a comedic it's played for like a comedic thing or like a joke or whatever, and to have it being in a positive, the story isn't this is the gay guy, the story is like, oh, they have this, you know, this identity, but that's not their whole thing. They go beyond that, and having characters that go beyond that I think is really, really good.
I think so.
The Bachelor in Paradise being about dating, I don't know if you're gonna really get that. But I do think you see Demi in a lot of situations that are just normal, interacting with people normally, and her
She's just a person.
Yeah, and her sexuality isn't played as a joke. It's just
I like that they're not making it a joke.
And, you know, they're not making her like, oh, she's super butchy, or she's super this or whatever. Like,
yeah, they're not just confining her to anything.
She's just her, and I think that's really, really good. As a straight white male on a podcast, I don't know if it really matters what I think, but I personally feel like I have grown from her presence on television.
We both
have.
And
I appreciate it.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Good job, Stephanie, with the research.
Good job, Demi. Being yourself and helping to enlighten people everywhere.
Yeah, if people want to do more reading about this topic and the subjects that now are the stuff that you went over, we'll put those in the notes, the links in the notes.
Cool.
There's an article and a podcast episode.
And the book, again, is Sexual Fluidity, Understanding Women's Love and Desire, and the author is Lisa M. Diamond.
This has been a good talk, Stephanie.
Thanks.
And you took a big, huge subject, and you did it. I think you did a good job.
Aww.
Yeah. So with that, this is Learn to Like Each Other. We are on all the platforms for your podcast listening needs. If you'd like to download and subscribe, that would help us out a ton. And please give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this show. That would be super, super helpful. I think that's all I have for housekeeping. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday. Stephanie, anything else?
We hope that after listening to this podcast, you learn that you can like each other.
Very,
very
much. I gotta take a break. I'll be right back. Seeing as I'm nothing if not professional, I'm going to make sure James edits all of that out. And we're back!